16. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt anyone. Verse 14, but everyone is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Verse 16, do not err, my beloved brothers. So we want to preach on the subject today, the real test of real faith. The real test of real faith. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, it is again that we come to you asking that you would give us favor and blessing this morning, that you would anoint our minds and hearts, that we would not only present but to receive your engrafted word that is able to save and deliver our souls. We're growing by faith, Lord, and so we thank you for that experience, but we pray that you would be with us through every test and every trial, that you would get all the glory, and Lord, that we would lean fully upon you and not to our own understanding. Feed us from on high. Cleanse us. And make us what you would have us to be. And Father God, I pray that we would be changed by what we hear, and that we would indeed be changed for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the people of God said, amen. The real test of real faith. Let me ask a question. How many of you are going through a test in life right now? Okay. How many of you have just gone through the test? Amen. And for the rest of you that did not raise your hand, you're getting ready for it. Tests are something that we don't enjoy. There's some things that challenge us every time that we go through a test. But have you considered that when you go through the test, this is an opportunity for you and for me to discover some new things about ourselves, at least what we did not know? And certainly when it comes to God, for God to supply our need. None of us are perfect. We would admit that. But the only way that we can reach perfection is to know and evaluate where we are and what we need from God. We often say God will supply our need. And we think that that's something that's going to come without the test. Well, your teacher will tell you you can't get the diploma without going through the test. The Federal Trade Commission Federal Communications Commission, FCC, they conduct this test that annoys us. It will come on your favorite radio station, and it's even sometimes when you look at it on your TV channel, they'll interrupt your program, your song, and they will come across and they will tell you, this is a test of the emergency broadcast system. In the event of a real emergency, you will be given instructions of what you would need to do. Well, can I tell you that the FCC, along with the National Weather Service and FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, they conducted this test in 2016. And nearly 20,000 broadcasters, because they were not only using the TV stations, but they were using and broadcasting over the cable channels to test this emergency message that went out. 20,000 broadcasters. Only 56.5, or less than 60% of them, were actually able to receive the signal. Only about 56%. And think about this. Less than 60% of the broadcasters had the equipment or had the ability to even receive the message. Now, you know what you do when you hear the message. That's not talking about the folks that are listening. We either turn it off, turn it down, or go to another channel where maybe we're not going to hear that noise. But what they are telling you is that in the event of an emergency, that this test would have been important because they would have given you valuable information that you would have needed to get through a crisis. Everybody with me so far? Now, this is going to make sense. So less than 40% of the people were actually able to get the signal. Something that could have affected the lives of millions of people. What if FEMA had not given notification? There would have been lives in peril, or the National Weather Service. Now, I can tell you that God conducts tests so that his people would be thoroughly equipped in righteousness. In other words, this is a real test. This is not a test to see if you would be prepared. This is a test to see if you've got it. Can I just say to you that God is not only taking you through the test for his glory, but he has his own emergency management systems that is guaranteed to get you through every trial, every crisis, because the verse says, blessed is the man that endures temptation. Now, God would not put you in something if there wasn't his ability or his strength to get you through that. Are y'all with me? So he said, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Look at this, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Because you're going through a test doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. As a matter of fact, he loves you enough to test to see what you've got. Amen. He loves you enough to prove that he's by your side. If you don't learn anything else as you go through the test, you ought to learn that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, we don't always behave that way, because when we go through a test, we begin to blame folk. And we're going to get through that in just a minute, because the first one we blame is God. Lord, why are you putting me through this test? Let no man say, listen to it, let no man say when he is tested, well, God is doing this. You see what I'm saying? Verse 12 is just said to you, blessed are you. And that's not going to change. When God says you're blessed, you can't be cursed. When God has promised to be with you and never to abandon you, you're not going to fail, because he's there to pick you up. Even when you get to the limits of your ability, that's where God's supernatural power comes in and walks you through it. Y'all not with me today. Amen. Now let me put it this way. FEMA, if they conduct the test and you're going through the test, they may not be able to get there on time. They didn't do a good job in Katrina. Are y'all with me? The National Weather Service, even though they may give you the warning, they may not know where you are when the test is being conducted. Can I talk to somebody? And when you look at the Federal Communications Commission, they can give you the message, but they can't talk you through it. But I'm talking about God and his supernatural ability to get you through every trial, every crisis, every burden, everything that comes your way. Not only does he know about it, but he's got the answers right there. Are y'all with me? I've never seen a teacher that'll give you the cheat sheet. And yet God's saying, listen, I want you to make it through this trial, but you got to go through the test so that you can learn, greater is he that is in me. Am I preaching to somebody? Than he that is in the world. You think you're going to fail because you know that you don't have it, but you better look at the one who walks with you. I wish you'd touch somebody. No, we're not going to touch folks. Don't touch nobody. But just kind of look around and said, look who's with you. It would be one thing for you to be going through it by yourself. One thing for you to say that you're all alone. So what we're going to do is we're going to walk through this, because there are many believers who fail this real test because they're thinking to themselves, I'm going through this all by myself. And the Lord, listen, he's walking through it with you, and he's got the crown of righteousness right with him, so that as soon as you get through it, God's going to crown you. And he's, you ever seen these boxing matches after they're over with, and two guys, the defeated one, he stands on one side and the winner's on the other side. Well, you're the winner. Yeah. Oh my God. You are, look at somebody and tell them, you are the winner. Now you might look beat up, but you're the winner. And God's going to hold up your hand. And God's going to put the champion belt around your waist. Because none of his children, when they stand before God, will be defeated. Are y'all in the house?
Yes.
When you stand before God, you're going to have on that champion belt, because you're not going to look like you. You're going to look like Jesus. Oh, you don't look like it right now, but hang in there. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. So as we look at this, we ask the question, why in the world am I going through this? Isn't that what Job said? Amen. Why in the world is God putting me through this? Now, what James is going to do, he's going to walk you through this test. And I thought about something. How many of y'all ever gone to Lowe's or Home Depot or some of these other places, and then you see this little bell or whatever it is, a button that you push, and it says, assistance needed on the electrical aisle? So what I want you to think about, this mental thing that I want you to think about, assistance needed on the temptation aisle. If you don't ring the bell, if you don't push the button and say, Lord, I need you, let me just break it down. If you don't pray when you're going through the trial, you're not going to make it through it. Are you with me? Now, you think, well, I didn't make it through it, so the Lord ain't going to. No, he's going to test you again. You belong to him. His point is he wants you to pass the test and not fail it. Now, let me just break this down to you. I know a lot of y'all think, well, the temptation is going to be with my bills, right? Yeah, I'm being tempted with my bills. Or I'm being tempted with my finance. I'm being tempted with my health. That ain't what he's talking about here. All right. Your number one problem, my number one problem, guess what it is? It ain't your neighbor. My number one problem, your number one problem is this thing called sin.
Amen.
When you sin, you can't blame nobody else. Are y'all in the house? Now, a lot of folk will get back and say, well, this has something to do with me being prosperous in life. No, it has something to do with you conquering sin. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Because if you can't win the battle against sin, you can forget anything else. My biggest problem is not so much with my finances. All I got to do is say, well, I didn't do it this paycheck. Let me wait till the next one. Anybody in the house? Anybody understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
My biggest problem is with sin.
Amen.
Your greatest victory is going to come against sin. Amen. What Jesus died for was your sin.
Amen.
We're getting ready to enter into the passion season. And yes, the Lord wants to bless you with these things of life. But if you can't conquer sin, nothing else really matters. And what James is telling you, the whole book of James, he's talking about practical faith and what I call practicing faith. You can talk it. I love the Lord because he heard my cry, pitied my every groan, got saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost at an early age, and still struggling with some of the same sin that you were supposed to be saved from. Anybody in the house? So why the test? Because God wants you to be more than a conqueror. He wants you to be victorious. Lord, I had this habit, but I'm so thankful that today I'm free of it. Lord, I had this addiction, but I'm so thankful that today I'm free of it. Lord, I had anger issues, but I'm so glad that today I've conquered that. Lord, I was broken by my sin, but today I've got the victory in Jesus' name. You got to have that victory, because when you can celebrate the victory over sin, you can celebrate the victory over everything else. Anybody with me today? Amen. All right, so here we go. Why the test? I'm going to get back to that. Why the test? But here's the thing we got to look at. It says, now, don't forget who you are. It says you're blessed, right? So when you're going through the test, just remember that God is going through it with you, and he's going to help you through your trial. Blessed is the man that endureth temptations, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised. Abraham, listen to me. Abraham was given a promise at age 75. Didn't see the first sign of it until he got age 100. And why was he able to keep walking? Because he walked by faith. You and I are walking by faith. Stop trying to say, well, Lord, show me something. He's already shown you something. He's committed to you. He's shown you in his word, I'm committed to you. I'm going to get you through this. Keep moving. What happens to churches and what happens to families and believers is they, right in the middle of the trial, they throw, you know what? I'm done. I'm throwing the towel. You better take your towel. You won't need it to wipe the sweat. Throwing in the towel. Look at this. God loves you enough to send you through the test and say, I'm going to be with you. But you love him enough. Because look at what it says, to them that love him. You love him enough to say, Lord, I'm not giving up. Yes, this is hard. Yes, I'm going to cry. Yes, I'm going to be torn by it. But I'm not giving up. I did not come this far just to give in now. I'll get up one more time. I wish somebody would say that in your heart, in your spirit. I'm going to get up one more time. Yes, I was knocked down yesterday, but I'm getting back up. Because I know that God is able to sustain me. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. So the real faith is needed. And what James says, now watch as we turn the corner. He says now, blessed are you when you're tried. But then he goes on to say, let no one say, think about that. James later on in chapter 3 is going to say, if anybody does not sin with his tongue. That little thing in your mouth that tastes food. He can also cuss folk. You didn't know that, did you? So if anyone does not sin with his lips or with his tongue, the same is perfect. So if you can nail that one, you know how sometimes when you're talking to people and they ain't talking right, and then you have thoughts in your mind of what you need to say to them and get them straight? Come on. And what James is saying, put a bridle on it. You're talking too much now. You call it blessing people out. No, you cussing them out. You ain't blessing them. Are y'all in the house? Hello? And see, our biggest problem is the way we talk to God. Blaming him. What did Adam do? Well, God, it's your fault. This woman that you gave me. Amen. Fellas, don't blame the wife for something stupid you did. Amen. If y'all sitting beside your husband, look at him and tell, don't blame me. You made that decision. Adam trying to put it off on Eve. What was he doing? James brings it up here. He was saying to God, the reason why I'm going through this is because I'm being tempted by you. And notice he says two things about God. Number one, God cannot be tempted with evil. God cannot be tempted with evil. Second thing he says, nor does he tempt anybody with the evil. Well, wait a minute, preacher, wait a minute. If God is in control of everything, which I heard you say, I read your mind. You had it. If God is in control of everything and he's in control of this test, then why didn't he keep me from this? I'm glad you asked that question. God has put something in you that rather than the bad coming out of you, God wants his nature. God wants his spirit to be revealed in you so that the truth will set you free. Remember when Jesus was tested? The devil wanted to bring out evil and couldn't tempt Jesus with evil because he didn't have any evil in him. There was nothing in him. The only thing that was in him was righteousness. And I love that. And what Jesus gave the devil was the word. He said, you wanted it. Here it is. Man shall not live by bread alone. And thou shalt not tempt God. And you shall worship the Lord only, and him only shall you serve. Jesus was responding because he could not see. He couldn't be tempted. He was God. Couldn't be tempted with sin. Now, can you and I be tempted with sin? Say yes. If you don't say yes, you lying up here in church. You'll be ashamed of yourself. Let me just bring up the fact. It's a difference between a sin that happens and a sin habit. No child of God is going to develop a habit of sin. Why? Because God's going to bring about these troubles. He says those whom he loves, he chastens. Y'all in the house? Maybe the reason why we felt so bad after we did what we did was because God was whipping us. Come on now, y'all kind of looking around like, what are you talking about, preacher? You know what you did. And the thing is, we're just like Adam and Eve. We think we can sneak and hide from God. You see me? You've seen little kids when they play peekaboo, and because they close their eyes, they think nobody can see them. Y'all still playing, and you ought to grow up. You're trying to trick God. All right, I got to move on. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Now, he allows you to go through it because he wants to reveal his righteousness in you. What happened when you got saved? You were saved by the grace of God, and God put his spirit in you so that when you start going through this mess in life, God's not looking for you to come out. He wants his spirit to be revealed in you. The way you do things, because now all we got to do is ask, Lord, reveal yourself. Reveal yourself. Remember, we're born again in the likeness of God. Amen. We're called Christians. That means we're like Christ. What did he do? He made it through. Amen. I know y'all say, I don't know, preacher. Trust me. God knows what he's doing. I got to hurry up. Listen. What happens? But everyone is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed. You ever seen these cartoons? I'm a cartoon fan. I love the cartoons. And especially when somebody, it maybe be the aroma of something and they're just kind of floating along following that. Here we go. And the book of Proverbs warns us about temptation. It warns us. It warns us. See, you got five gates to your natural body, right? The eye gate, what you see. He sure looked fine. She sure looked. What's happening? Your eye gate is being, or you hear something through the ear gate. Amen? Or you smell something through, or you touch something. Come on, y'all in the house? See, you've got to be careful and guard the gate. You got to make sure that you're saying, Lord, help me guard the gate. And if you don't start at that point, remember, assistance needed on the temptation aisle. Here you start going, I can handle this. I've been through this before. I'm going to be strong. No. You better back away. At one point, Paul told Timothy, flee fornication. Run from it, brother. People say, you're a coward. Yep. But I'm saved. Everyone is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Look at what happens. Look at what happens. And then he says, then when lust has conceived, it produces sin. It produces sin. No other way to call it except, Lord, I sin. Amen. I went into that ABC store. I picked up that bottle of scotch. And Lord, I sat it down and I drank it. When I used to come home sometime, my mom would say, who got you drunk? I'd look at her, I'd be floating like a fish. And I'd tell her, nobody got me drunk, I got myself drunk. And then she slapped the fool out of me, so yeah. Yeah. And see, it happens to all of us. You ever go through the post office and you see these posters of wanted people? Used to have where people were wanted. Satan's got posters on you. Amen. He wants you. Amen. There's also posters in glory where God says, I got you. Amen. And what you need to focus on in your mind is that at every point when we are tempted, we can immediately do the reverse of what the emergency broadcast system does. You know, they send the message to us, but we can send the message to God. Did y'all got that? At any time, you can say to God, I am in an emergency. I am in a test. And God always hears even your faintest cry. Let me move on. So the verse closes by saying, do not err, my brothers. Now, why is James bringing us through all of this and telling us, don't be mistaken about it. Don't err. Don't allow the process to happen. It's because of verse 12. God wants to see you come through that trial. He wants to see you make it through that crisis of faith in your life so that you can prove that you know God. Let me just share one verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There has no temptation. Taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will, watch this now, with the temptation, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You ever heard of these things called escape hatches? And you wonder, how do they disappear? Well, even in your worst trial, God is right there to open up an escape for you so that you don't have to bear it alone. Amen. He's right there with you. Are y'all in the house? Amen. Y'all still here? Yeah. Amen. So when you think about real faith and you think about the things the devil's going to hit you with next week, a couple of things before I close. Why the test? Let's answer it. Number one, God knows what he's given you. Amen. He knows what he has given you. The test is not about you, but it's about what God has put inside of you. Amen. Go on and talk to yourself. Something good inside here. Something good inside of your heart. You've got this amazing thing called faith. And what faith does, it calls up love. It says, now, love, what can you do about it? Love says to us that no matter what, God's going to still love you. And love calls up hope, and hope says, he maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. God knows what he's put inside of you. Second thing is, you will learn how to use what God has put inside of you. Your test helps you to use what God has given you. Anybody here? So when you start using what God gives you, then you're not only practicing righteousness, but you're walking in it. Amen. Job was a much stronger man after he came through his trial. Because his faith has been tested. Amen. You're stronger now. If you look at yourself, you're stronger now because you went through that trial. It didn't feel good when you were going through it, right? Amen. But now that you're through it, you say, yeah, I beat up and all. Yeah, but I'm still standing. because you know that God brought you through it. And then the last thing as we look at this is that you will become strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's the whole point of the test. You're not in heaven yet, and the devil is saying, I can beat up on you anytime I want to. And you can say to the devil, Satan, I come against you in the name of Jesus. It's the same as little David standing before Goliath. Goliath was big, but he was not the champion. Only one man walked off the field that day. Only one man came through, and that was the one who stood up for God. Amen. And if you stand up for God, I'm telling you, God will stand up for you. Give the Lord a hand clap today. Amen. Let's all stand as we give the invitation. There might be someone today. I know we had to kind of rush through this, but there might be someone today. You're fighting this fight, and you're asking yourself, what in the world is happening to me? This thing is common for us to be tempted, for us to be tested. But it shows the faithfulness of our amazing God. It shows how good he is, how awesome he is, and that God will not fail you in your worst times of your crisis. He's right there with you, and he's going to keep you. Amen? Amen? And if you don't know the Lord, you can come to know him. If you don't know him, if you never surrendered to Jesus Christ, today would be a great day, saying, Lord, I give you everything. I give you my life. Lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake, and God will do it. Amen? Amen? Maybe you're not a member of the church and you'd like to be a part of our church family here at Crossroads. We invite you. We're not best church, but we ain't the worst either. Amen. We love the Lord, and God loves us. So if there's one today. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. How you doing? All right. Amen. Let me get your names on there real quick. And you all have come to be a part of our church family?
Yes, sir.
Amen. 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 Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. And you can just fill it. You just put your names on there first and then. We'll get a different one after church. Amen. Yeah, I'll get you to fill out the rest of it after service, okay? Amen. Amen. We have Eric and Chantel. That they've come to be a part of our church fellowship and that you all are joining by letter or by Christian experience?
Christian experience.
Christian experience. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. I know that they've been attending our church for some time, and that's why we always welcome those who are visiting with us, because I realize how important a church home is, and you want to make sure it's the right place. You know, you want to make sure that you're comfortable with the people. And I'm very thankful that our church has an open heart and we are inclusive. Amen. Because everybody may not have come from around here. Amen. But we appreciate the fact that you all saw something in us that has, you know, allowed you to say, well, hey, you know, I'd like to hang out there. And it's not because we're so weird right now. Amen. But we thank the Lord for them. So what is our pleasure today?
It's Eric and Chantel.
Eric and Chantel Klein.
Klein. I would like to motion that Eric and Chantel Klein become members of Crossroads Baptist Church by Christian Experience.
Amen. It's been properly moved and second. To receive Eric and Chantel Klein as members of our church by Christian Experience. And we're grateful to God. And our vote is not to say, well, hey, our vote is to support them, right? And to be with them through their trials and for them to be with us through our trials, because we are the body of Christ. All in favor with the said motion? Let it be known. Any contraries? So moved and carried. Amen. We welcome you into our church family. And these are doctors. So guess what we got going on here at Crossroads? We got this health ministry thing, and that's going to be important. So thank you so much. I believe the Lord has sent you to us. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
Welcome.
We'll take these up after service, and we'll take these up after service and get you to complete the rest of it. Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. All right. Amen. Amen. God is so good. As our community health ministry, as that's getting started, we got a lot of folks that's working on that, and I'm just realizing how God equips His body to do His work of ministry. And it's not the work of one or two people, it's the work of all of us. That's how we really make the difference. So we're just grateful for what the Lord is doing. Amen. We're going to get ready for our offering. We ask that you prepare your hearts as you prepare your gifts, and let us give as the Lord has blessed us. Amen.